That we would allow your word to speak to us, Father, that you would use me to speak to your people. And Lord, that we would leave here not distracted, Lord, or not upset, not angry, but that your Holy Spirit would do a work in us tonight. I pray you bless the few minutes we've got and then the fellowship to come. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And like I said, we're preaching through a series on the family, and we preach through all the roles of the family. I already mentioned that. Role of a husband, role of a wife, role of a father, role of a mother. Preached on discipleship and discipline of children. And we're just going to be hitting some miscellaneous things that I think needs to be covered in our series on the family. And I want to preach on a subject, very specific subject, but it's a subject of dating. Dating and the family. Guidelines for dating. I believe the Bible gives us direction in every area of our life. If you ever have any questions about anything, the Bible addresses it. The Bible teaches you. You say, well, I've never heard the Bible. You know, sometimes people say to me, I've got this situation in my life, but the Bible doesn't address it. No, you may just not have read that part yet, but God always addresses everything in our life. And the Bible teaches us what we should or shouldn't do. And tonight I want to preach on the subject of dating. Now, it's a very specific subject, and some of you may think, well, you know, I'm already married, I'm done with dating, I'm done with this, I'm done with that. But you got to understand, number one, it's always good to know what the Bible says about anything. Somebody may ask you a question, somebody may have, you need to give some advice, but look, even if you're married, your kids are going to be dating someday. You say, my kids are already dating, my kids are already married, your grandkids are going to be dating someday. So it's good for you, or maybe you're not married, maybe you've never been married, maybe you're in that stage in life, maybe you're a child or a teenager. You need to understand these things. And tonight, as quickly as I can, I want to give you just real quick, 15 thoughts. 15. I said that, I did that three times, so you guys know. 15 times, good night, times. 15 thoughts on the subject of dating. 15 thoughts on the subject of dating. Number one, do not date unbelievers. Do not date unbelievers. What are you talking about? I believe, and the Bible teaches, that a saved person, a Christian, should not date someone who's not saved. Someone who's an unbeliever. Look at your Bible. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, the idea that the Bible is teaching us there is that it's the idea, you know, if you think of like those times, or you think of farming before we had, you know, technology and all those things, the idea there is of like two ox that are plowing a field. And what they would do is when you had these ox, what's the plural for ox? Is it oxen? Is that right? Who knows? I see oxen. Okay, good. You know, you got these oxen, right? And they're plowing this field. And what they would do is they would yoke them together. The idea there is they would take a piece of wood and they would really just lock them neck by neck. And the purpose of that is when you paired them up, they would help each other, you know, because they're doing real hard work. And let's say as they were working, maybe one of the ox, maybe their foot would slip a little bit, they begin to fall. Well, then they had that other ox there, yoked with them at the neck there to kind of pull them up. And the Bible tells us that we as Christians should not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now look, that's not just talking about dating. That's not just talking about marriage. That's talking about every area of our lives. We ought not be yoked together with unbelievers. We ought not be yoked together with people that aren't saved. You know, I'm not saying we ought to be friendly to people that aren't Christians and we ought to be nice, but those aren't be, they should not be the people that we're yoked together with in life. You say, why not? Because we're going separate directions in life. You understand that? Unsaved, unbelieving people who don't have the Bible as their guide, who don't have the Holy Spirit as their guide in life, are heading in a direction that a Christian who is following God and following His Word is not headed. And the Bible tells us that we ought not be unequally yoked. And look, let me tell you something. Is there a yoke more strong than that of marriage? We ought not marry an unbeliever. And you ought not be dating an unbeliever. And you ought not be dating someone. And look what it says. Look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he begins to develop this thought. Look what it says. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Look at verse 15. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial there is a representation of the devil. That was the god that they worshipped. That was literally Satan worship. And the Bible says in verse 15, "And what conquered hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Do you see that? An infidel is someone who's not faithful, does not have faith. The Bible says, someone who has faith, he that believeth with an infidel, what part do they have together? Look at verse 16. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let me tell you something. It's more than just yoking up with unbelievers. If you as a Christian have the ability to just pal around and hang out and be around people that aren't saved, that aren't Christians, that don't love God, that don't love His Word, and you just have no problem with it, there's something wrong with your Christianity. There's something wrong with your heart. If you just be around people, they're cursing God's name, they're taking God's name in vain, they mock the Bible, they mock Christianity, they mock God's Word, and you just have no problem hanging out with them, you have no problem being with them, there's no butting of heads there, there's no issue, let me tell them, you need to get right with God, because the Bible says that we ought not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers.
Amen.
And when it comes to the subject of dating, hey, don't date someone that's not saved. Only date a Christian. And I'll take it a step further than that. Date a mature Christian. I mean, date an independent, fundamental, soul-winning, King James Bible-believing, hellfire, brimstone Baptist. That's what I'm talking about. Look, you can go get some, you know, contemporary liberal out there. He's saved, yeah, but he's lazy. Yeah, but he doesn't care about doctrine. Yeah, but he doesn't know his Bible. Yeah, but you see what I'm saying? Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I said number one, do not date an unbeliever. I said number two, take it a step further. Date a mature Christian. Number three, the purpose of dating is to get married. Do you understand that? The purpose of dating is to get married. Go with me real quickly to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. You go past 1 and 2 Corinthians there. Go to the book of Galatians, Ephesians. Then you've got Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and Timothy there. 1 Timothy chapter number 5. See, today people have this idea that when you become a teenager, you just all of a sudden have this right to date. And they think that dating is just, you know, having fun and getting around, you know, being with other people of the opposite sex and having a little boyfriend, having a little girlfriend. Let me tell you something. The purpose of dating is to get married. You're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. Look at verse number 14. 1 Timothy 5:14. The Bible says this, "I will." Do you see that word "will" there? You ever heard somebody say this? "I want to know what God's will is for my life." Let me tell you, you want to know what God's will is? Look at what the Bible says for a young lady here. "I will, therefore, that the younger women," look what it says, "marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." You say, you're some sort of old-fashioned house on the prairie preacher. You don't know what you're talking about. Let me tell you. The Bible says that the will of God for a young lady is to get married, have children, guide the house. And the purpose of dating, if you're going to date, the end game is to find an individual suitable to marry. That's the point of dating. Look, I'm all for people dating. I encourage people dating. My wife and I have actually set up some people that ended up getting married and having kids. And we're working on some right now, praise God. You know, I want people to get to date and get married. But you got to understand something. The purpose of dating is to get married. If you understand that, then you start to understand who should not date. If the purpose of dating is to get married, let me tell you something. Do not date when you are not old enough to get married. You understand what I'm saying? There is no reason why a 14-year-old girl and a 14-year-old boy ought to have their little boyfriend and dating. Does a 14-year-old have the ability to get married yet? Do they have the maturity or the finances or the reason to be able to get married? Man, I could show you some 18-year-olds that aren't there yet, you know. So if the purpose of dating is to get married, then when you're too young to be married, don't date. Do you understand that? You know, you go to these junior high schools, you see these little kids running around holding hands, you know, petting each other and kissing and making out, acting like they're some sort of adult, and they're just a bunch of little snot-nosed kids. Don't pay rent, don't do anything, don't, you know, they get up late for school, don't have any responsibility, but they think they can go out and date. Let me tell you something. The purpose of dating, I know I sound like a dinosaur, but the purpose of dating is to marry, and if you're not old enough to get married, then don't date. Amen. Do not date when you are too young to get married. Number five. Do not date when you're already married. That should be pretty self-explanatory. But let me take it a step further, because you know Pastor Jimenez takes it, always takes it a step further. Do not date when you're already married. Don't date when you're divorced. Look, I'm anti-dating when you're divorced. Now look, if you've been divorced before and you got married, that, you know, whatever, that's in the past. You get right with God and serve God. I'm all for that and love God and, you know, put it in your past, confess it to God, and don't get divorced again. But if you're divorced right now and you haven't remarried, don't date. You say, well, why? Because you're already married. I know the world doesn't understand this, but according to God, He doesn't acknowledge divorce. You are married. Do not date. Because what's the point of dating to get married? Do not date when you are too young to get married. Do not date when you are already married. Divorced. Do not date if you are not ready to get married and you are a young adult. When I was in the Air Force, and even in my job now, I meet young people, and when I say young people, I mean people my age. I meet 25-year-old, 26-year-old, 30-year-old guys, and I'll talk to them about their life, whatever, and they'll make statements like this: I'm not ready to get married. You know, because people, you meet someone, oh, you married? I'll tell them, yeah, I'm married, and you know, I've got a couple kids and one on the way, and they'll be like, oh man, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 26, you know? And they'll say, and they're like 34. And they're like, I'm not ready to settle down, man. I'm going to wait till I'm 40 before I get that ball and chain or whatever, you know? And they're like, I'm not ready. I got all these things. I'm not done partying yet. But let me tell you something. If you're not ready to get married, and you're 28 years old, you say, I'm not ready to get married. Praise God. Then don't date. Don't date. Because the point of dating is to get married. The point of dating is to find a suitable spouse. So if you say, I'm not mature enough to get married, then don't date. You know, and this is where these I feel bad for some of these young girls. They end up dating this guy, and they're dating for like 5 years, and they're just waiting for him to be ready. I mean, just move on. Find someone who's already ready. Do not date when you're not ready. Even if you're old enough, but if you're not mature enough, don't date. Number 7. Man, where are we on number 7? I got 15 points. We're going to get that cake and ice cream real fast. Look at verse 12. Not verse 12. Oh, no. Sorry, the Bible got in the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. First Corinthians chapter 7. And number 7, I'm giving you guidelines on dating. I said number 1, do not date unbelievers. Number 2, take it a step further, date a mature Christian. Number 3, the purpose of dating is to get married. Number 4, do not date when you are too young to get married. Number 5, do not date when you are already married and divorced. Number 6, do not date if you are not ready to get married. Number 7, there should be no physical relationship before marriage. Let me say that again. There should be no physical relationship before marriage. I'm going to say that one more time. There should be no physical relationship before marriage. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at verse number 1. I really hope you kids are listening up right now. What I'm going to tell you right now is going to either destroy your life or help your life be better. Talk to some of these adults. 1 Corinthians 7, 1. Look what it says. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Look what he said. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. The Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Look at verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. You see that? People today have this idea, and our world has this philosophy. It's all over the billboards, it's all over the television, it's all over the radio, it's all over the movies. Everybody today thinks, you know, you start dating, you're just some little teenager, and you start dating, and you're going to hold hands with your little boyfriend, your little girlfriend, you're going to kiss them, and you're going to do this with them, and you're going to, you know, have a physical relationship before marriage. Let me tell you something, I understand this goes against the grain, I understand the world thinks I'm insane, but let me tell you something, the Bible says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. It is good to not have, and you say, well, what if I can't stop myself, then get married. I can't stop myself. And listen, girls, I'm telling you right now, I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. Have some respect for yourself. Amen. And you tell that, you know, you see, you allow that man to put his hands all over you and do whatever he wants with you, and then you wonder why you can't get a commitment out of him. Why does he need a commitment? You already gave him everything. Why does he need a commitment? You already gave, you know, I'm going to give you, I think it's funny. I'm going to give you a quote. You got to write this down. You got a pen? Pastor Jimenez doesn't have a lot of insight into life, but I'm going to give you a deep quote right now. This is a quote that has been passed down from generation to generation by independent fundamental Baptist preachers for a long time. Here it goes. You ready? Why would they bring the cow home if the milk is free? Exactly. I like that quote. You say, I thought it was going to be deeper than that. It's not very deep. Let me tell you something. If you're putting yourself out there, why would they commit? Why would they? Let me tell you. And today we see it. And you don't have to listen. You can say, Pastor Jimenez, you are insane. You have no idea what you're talking about. Go ahead. I'll see you at 18 pregnant. I'll see you at 21 pregnant. I'll see you with the debt and the ability. I'll see you by yourself. Hey, and when you come back, hey, we'll love you. When you come back, we'll help you. When you come back, we'll pray for you. When you come back, but if you listen to me right now, I can help you right now. Don't touch that girl. Don't touch that boy until you are married. Amen. Keep your hands off each other. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. You're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. Look what it says. 1 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 13. Look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 6:13. The Bible says, meat's for the belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Look what it says. Now the body is not for fornication. The word fornication there is talking about having a sexual relationship before marriage. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Now hold on a second. Don't skip through that right there. The Bible says when you got married, that God took two flesh and made them one flesh. Remember the book of Genesis, and we'll get to it here in a second. It says, you know, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. But that relationship that God is talking about is a physical relationship. When a man and a woman come physically together for the first time, they become one flesh, according to the Bible. And in 1 Corinthians 6:16, look what it says. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot, the word harlot there means a whore, means like a prostitute. It says, what? Know ye not that he that is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. See, let me tell you something. God designed a relationship called marriage where a man who has never known any other woman and a woman who has never known any other man come together. And when they come together in a physical relationship, God says, you have just become one flesh. But the sad thing is that today we've got our teenagers running around laying with everybody they know, anybody that gives them any time, any attention. And God says, you're joining yourself and becoming one flesh with harlots. And he says, your body belongs to God. Stay away from it. Look at verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Look at verse 18. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. Flee fornication. Look what he says. Very interesting. Look at verse 18. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Do you see that? Let me tell you something. Sexual promiscuity is one of the most disgusting things you can do with your life. With your body. I'm talking about health-wise. The human body is not designed to be with multiple partners. I'm trying to be as not graphic as I can. The human body is not designed to be with multiple partners. And God says that look at verse 18 again, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. You drink alcohol, that's without the body. You lie and you steal, that's without the body. You lie, that's without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. You want to know why we have a rampage of STDs today? You want to know why we have a rampage of AIDS today? You want to know why we have a rampage of all these things? It's not because people are marrying once for eternity, forever, you know, for their whole life, is because we've got a society of people who just go around sleeping around with everybody, you know, messing around with everybody, exchanging their diseases with everybody, and then instead of, you know, going to school and telling kids, hey, abstain from that, flee fornication, what do? Hand out condoms. Hand out birth control. Your kids can go to the nurse and say, I need to go to Planned Parenthood so I can abort my child. And by the way, don't tell my mom that. What a disgust. And God says, he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Look at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Go with me real quickly to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians, go past 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look at verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look at verse number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, look at verse number 3. The Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all, such as we also have forewarned you and testified. The Bible says that the will of God is even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I can help you tonight if you would listen to me, young kids and teenagers. Do not fornicate. Do not touch each other until you are married. I didn't say before marriage. I didn't say when you were engaged. I said when you get to that aisle and you say, I do, for better or worse, in sickness or in health, till death do us part. And the preacher there, you may kiss the bride, hey, that's when you can do it, not before. And today, here's what our society does. It takes everything backwards. See, this is what God says. Date, get married, physical relationship, in the bed, in the home. The Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled. That's holy. Have children. This is what our world does. Physical relationship, baby, don't know the daddy, you know. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, you want to date after you got the kids. It's like, well, we're already pregnant, so I guess let's get to know each other. You know, the world's got it messed up. The Bible says there will come a day when they will call holy, unholy, and unholy, holy. And here's the worst part. People listen to this type of preaching, and they'll say, you're a fanatic. You're insane. Telling me to not sleep around on the first date? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Get some respect for yourself. Get back to the Bible and say, hey, I'm not going to let you touch me. And by the way, you girls, I'll tell you this again. When you're in school and that little boy wants to put his hand on, you got pastor's permission to punch him in his big fat nose. And if your principal says, why'd you do that? Tell him your pastor told you so. Because you should not let some guy put his hands on you. And you guys, don't let those girls put their hands on them either. Not as innocent as they look. Number 8. Do not live or shack up with someone you're not married to. You're not dating. You're dating. Let me tell you something. If you shack up and you go and you say, I'm going to live with my boyfriend for a year before we get married. Let me tell you, you're worse than a prostitute. You know why? Because at least a prostitute is getting paid.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, yeah, just have some respect for yourself, honestly. I'm not trying to be graphic or mean. I'm really trying to get through this really fast because I want to enjoy that cake and ice cream. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 2. Have you ever noticed when we have cake and ice cream when I preach really hard? Just because I don't want you sticking around very long. Genesis chapter number 2, look at verse 24. I'm just kidding. Genesis chapter number 2, look at verse 24. Look what it says. Genesis chapter number 2, look at verse 24. In Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 24. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 24. The Bible says, therefore shall a man... I'll wait till you get there. Genesis chapter number 2, look at verse number 24. Genesis chapter number 2, look at verse number 24. Genesis chapter number 2, verse 24, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. You should live with your mom and dad, I believe, until you're married. That's what the Bible says. Look at it again. Don't get mad at me. Look at the Bible. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. The Bible doesn't say, therefore shall a man leave his roommate and shall cleave unto his wife. It doesn't say, therefore shall a man leave, you know, his dormitory room there and cleave unto his wife. It doesn't say he's going to leave, you know, the fraternity he's at and cleave. It says he shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. I believe young people ought to live at home until they're married. Dad, it is your job to keep your daughter at home until you give her away to another man. The Bible says you leave mother and you leave father and you cleave unto your wife. And if we get back to this in America, we solve a whole lot of problems. Young adults should live at home until they get married. The Bible doesn't give us some magical number where all of a sudden you're an adult. I know some 16-year-olds that are way more mature than some 26-year-olds. And I, you know, and there's no magical number. Oh, now I'm 18. Now I can do whatever I want. You go do that. Ruin your life. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There ought to be no physical relationship before marriage. And if there's no physical relationship before marriage, then you don't need to be living together. You know why? You know people often say this to me. They'll say, the hardest year of marriage is the first year. You know, we're always butting heads. We're always fighting with each other. You know what would have solved that a little bit? You know what would help you with that? Staying home until you got married. You know, my wife and I got married. When we got married that first year that we were married, you know, we didn't really fight about, you know, the furniture or how I spent my time. You know why? Because we didn't have these already set in place things. You know, people get married today and it's like, well, whose furniture are we going to keep? Your furniture? My furniture? Whose car are we going to keep? You know, when my wife and I got married, it was really easy. We're keeping your car. I don't have a car.
I had a car. This wasn't very good.
No, but honestly, you know, there's something beautiful about, you know, there's something beautiful about, you look at, you know, that's my, you know, sofa, and that's your, you know, everything my wife and I have is ours, like, literally, it's ours. There's something sweet about getting married and just eating on the floor for the first 6 months, because you don't have a table, seriously, you know, because you're just together. Because everything, you know, there's something sweet about, you know, my wife and I, we got our apartment, and we just kind of like, how do we get the electricity on? Really? Because we just both came out of our homes and established a home together. Stay, you know, it'll help your marriage
if you would stay at home till you got married. I said number 10. Let me give you some guidelines. Dates should be in public places.
Do not be alone. While you are dating, date in public places. While you are dating, if you are not married, don't be in a room by yourselves. You're just setting yourself up for failure. And by the way, I'm against members of the opposite sex that aren't married driving together in vehicles by themselves. You know, unless it's your mom or your sister or something or your aunt, you know, you ought not be driving around some woman that you're not married to. Say why? Well, number one, the Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ said, lead us not into temptation. You're putting yourself in a place of temptation where it's very easy to slip into sin. But not only that, you say, well, we're not doing anything. We're just going to go in this room and we're just going to talk, Pastor. We're just going to have Bible study. That's our date. Went to McDonald's and now we're going to have Bible study in the room by ourselves. Well, the Bible says abstain from the appearance of evil. You know, let me tell you something. If it looks wrong, it's wrong. You say, well, we're not doing anything wrong. If it looks wrong, it's wrong.
Date in public places. Do not date alone. Do not be alone. Number 11.
Listen to advice from your parents. Listen to advice from your pastors. Or your pastor.
Go to, real quickly, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. You're slowing me down. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 14. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 14. Proverbs 11. If you open up your Bible smack down in the middle, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 14. Proverbs 11. Look at verse 14.
Let me explain something to you. The purpose of dating is to find someone suitable for marriage. The purpose of dating is not to come home and say, I found him, and you're practically already married. When you're dating someone, allow your parents, if you're living at home or if you've got a good relationship, allow your parents, allow your pastor, allow your pastor's wife, allow people that are godly, that are maybe a little older than you, that are maybe a little smarter than you, that maybe have a little more insight than you, allow those people, your grandparents, someone you respect in your life, to give you some counsel. Look what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter number 11, look at verse number 14. Proverbs 11:14, the Bible says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Look, when it comes to marriage, allow your mom and dad to give you advice and take it. They might have a little more insight. You might not be able, you're so love struck, you can't think straight, he's perfect and she's perfect, and your mom and dad are trying to tell you, listen, they've got a criminal record. This might not work out. Like, Mom, he loves me. Look, you think I'm joking, but this happens every day. Allow people to give you some insight. They might see some things that you don't realize. They might have gone down that path and sowed that and reap that. Listen to advice from your parents. Listen to advice from your pastor. Listen to advice from people that you love, that you respect. Number 12. Do not choose a spouse based on looks only. Do not choose a spouse based on looks only. Go with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Look at verse 30. Proverbs 31. Look at verse 30. Proverbs 31:30. The Bible says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. You ought not choose a spouse solely based, but they're so pretty. Look at their eyes. Mom, do you understand? Look at his shoulders. What does that even mean? He's got such masculine shoulders. Yeah, it's football gear. Don't choose a spouse only based on their looks. The Bible says, look what it says. Proverbs 31:30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now look, looks ought to be a part of it. Obviously, you ought to marry someone you're attracted to. But that's not the main thing you're looking for. You say, what am I looking for? Salvation, godliness, character, Christianity, the fact that they respect their parents. Let me tell you something, girls. Your husband, your future spouse, they disrespect their mom, they're going to disrespect you. You say, you girls, you disrespect your dad, you disrespect your parents, you're going to disrespect your husband. That's what you're looking for. Characteristics. Before you're married. Look, once you're married, you're locked in for life, according to the Bible. Don't just look, but you don't understand the way they look. Let me tell you something. In 30 years from now, it's not going to matter. They're not going to look like that. It's going to sag and wiggle and all of that stuff. I'm not trying to be offensive, but I'm just telling you right now. You better choose someone you like. You better choose someone you can have a conversation with. Well, she's beautiful, Dad. Yeah, but she can't form a sentence, son. How are you going to have a conversation with her? I'm being serious. I'm not joking. Good night. That's just fright. No, I'm just kidding. I got three more. I got two more. Where you meet your future spouse, number 13. Why are you guys laughing? Number 13. Where you meet your future spouse tells a lot about who they are. I'm being very serious. Where you meet your future spouse tells a lot about... You say, where should I meet my spouse? A good place would be church. I'd love Verity Baptist Church to be a place one day where we just have a thriving singles ministry. We just have singles and we can... My wife can just get you guys all dating and set you up on dates and all that, Hey, praise God for that. Where you meet your spouse has a lot to do with them. I heard somebody say this. I thought it was very interesting. I heard a preacher say this. He said, if I was at the age of dating, he said, where I would go to pick up, to find someone? I'd go to Barnes & Noble. And I thought that was really interesting because when my wife, before we were married, guess where my wife and her friends hung out? Barnes & Noble. You say, what do you say? That's so crappy. I know. Okay, with your little Starbucks at Barnes & Noble. But guess what? You're finding someone that's going to probably be intelligent, that reads, that's clean. Where you meet people has a lot to do with how your marriage is going to go. I'm so amazed. Women will complain. My husband's a drunk. He just drinks all day. And it's like, you met him at a bar.
You meet him at church, though, might be a little different. You meet him at church, though. You meet him somewhere. You know, where you meet people is going to tell you a lot about their character, who they are, what they believe. Meet them at church versus the bar. Meet them out soul winning versus the club. Meet them at Barnes & Noble or something. People say, this is the number one complaint women have. Well, not number one, but a major complaint women have. My husband plays video games all day long. Well, yeah, if you met them at the arcade. It's like, you should have got a hint when he's 28 and he's at the arcade. That's where you picked him up. Hint. You know, meet him at church. Meet someone who reads the Bible. Meet someone who has a job. Number 14. And this goes with number 13. Do not date someone, let me tell you right now, especially you ladies, do not date someone you plan on changing when you're married. And you know, you say, Pastor, why are you saying all these things? Because I've heard all these things. Honestly, I've heard all these things. Let me tell you something. He was a drunk when you met him. He's going to be a drunk when you marry him, when you're married. He played video games when you married him. He's going to play video games after you married him. He was unemployed before you met him. He's going to be unemployed after you married him. He is lazy before. He's going to be... You marrying him is not going to change any of that. And people don't... They say, well, I know he's got issues, but we're going to work on that. You're insane if you think you're going to change your husband or change your wife. He was lazy before. He was unfaithful before. He was ghetto before. He was a liar before. He was crazy before. I mean, my wife is crazy. Guess what? She was crazy before you married her. And you stepped up and you said, I do, live with it. And we got to get some character back in our society when people will say, I made a vow between me and God. It wasn't between you and your spouse. It was between you and God. And you said, I do, for better or worse, till death do us part. And I wish we'd get back to say, I've got character. Well, she's crazy. He was lazy, he was insane. Stay with him. But you say, see, if you're wise while you're dating, then you wouldn't have all those issues when you're married. Be wise. You say, what's the point of dating? Well, we're going to date and we're going to have all this fun and we're going to fornicate and we're going to drink. No. The purpose of dating is to get married. Purpose of dating is to get married. Number 15. Do not, let me just give you some advice right now. Especially you young people. Do not go on online dating sites. Please do not go on online dating sites. I know that our society has gotten away from, like, talking to people. You know, the social media out there is just insane. People don't have conversations anymore. They just instant message. You know, do not, look. You say, how do I meet someone, Pastor? Hi, how are you? That might work. Would you like to get a cup of coffee? You know, don't go on these online dating things, especially you young kids. Because, listen, all you're going to find on online dating, I'm telling you right now, you're going to find a bunch of old people that are divorced, that, you know, the picture they put up was from, like, 10 years ago, 40 pounds ago, or something like that. Look, if you're a healthy, normal 24-year-old, you're going to have no problems finding someone to date. Okay? You know, and I'm not again, you know, whatever, do whatever you want, but we got to get away from this idea that all our friends, I mean, I'm just waiting for somebody to say, Pastor, have you ever thought about doing soul winning on Facebook? You know, because that's how people, you know, we got this social media mentality. I don't have a Facebook. My wife doesn't have a Facebook. I'm not going to get a Facebook. I really don't care, you know, when you went to the bathroom or what you had for breakfast or whatever, you know. Everybody Twitters, I'm at the store. I picked up Lucky Charms. I'm on, yeah, people are laughing because it's true. But, you know, I don't know if you understand this, but some of us have jobs. You know, some of us do things throughout the day. And no, honestly, get away from this mentality where it's like our whole social life is revolved on the computer talking to somebody that's not really there. Man. Go out and have a conversation. Meet somebody. Read a book. Go to Barnes & Noble. Maybe a guy will come by and ask you on a date. Get away from that idea. The purpose of dating is to get married. I said number one, do not date unbelievers. Number two, take it a step further, date a mature Christian. Number three, the purpose of dating is to get married. Number four, since the purpose of dating is to get married, do not date when you're too young to get married. Number five, since the purpose of dating is to get married, do not date when you are already married or divorced.
Number six, since the purpose of dating is to get married, do not date if you are not mature enough to get married. Number seven, there should be no physical relationship before marriage. Number eight, do not live or shack up with someone that you are not married to. Number nine, no, well, I don't even remember what that was. Number eight, number nine, young adults should live at home until they get married. Number 10, dates should be in public places. Do not be alone. Number 11, listen to advice from your parents, pastor, pastor's wife, people you respect. They may have some insight for you. Number 12, do not choose a spouse based on looks only. Number 13, where you meet your future spouse tells a lot about who they are. Number 14, do not date someone you plan on changing when you get married. Number 15, date someone that's real, not online. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for our church, Lord. And I know that sometimes we just have fun with some of these things, Father, but the subject of dating could destroy the life of a young person. And Lord, unfortunately, sometimes in church we have to spend time teaching these real, basic, almost common sense, comical type things because we're not being taught anywhere else. No public school is teaching children this. Most parents aren't teaching their children this. But Father, your word teaches it. And Lord, I pray you'd help our people, especially our young people, those who have not just gotten married, maybe haven't started dating, that even now, I would love it if there was some 10-year-old or 11-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, 17-year-old, just right now, who would decide and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to take those principles and put them to heart. Put them in my life. Maybe you've already messed up in some of those areas. I pray that those people would just ask God to forgive them and move on. Living for you, like we preached this morning, running the race that is set before us. We love you, Father. Bless the fellowship time. In your precious name I pray. Amen.